Lord, in this time, may you speak through my words. May you be in our ears and in our hearts, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Why did the Bishop of Salisbury decide to come to All Saints Swanage? Is the question you are bound to be asking yourselves today. Why us? Are we not safe? I'll explain. Firstly, because Swanage is probably our favourite place on the planet. Carol and I always choose to come here when there's any doubt as to what to do on our day off. We have a bit of a regular pattern, and so Swanage is in our hearts anyway. When I said to Joe, can I come to you, I didn't realise that the ferry was going to be having its annual service, so... It's a bit more complicated than it might have needed to be. But why here? Here because I kept safeguarding Sunday clear, because there's always something that comes up. Hadn't quite anticipated the week that we've had in terms of something to come up, but there we are. The reason I wanted to come was to thank you. I wanted to thank you for being a safe place. Because only a few weeks ago, you made the national news, and you were a safe place at a time of emergency, at a time of crisis. I knew about it straight away because our daughter works locally in the NHS, and she got the alerts on her phone, being part of that immediate response just over the road from you. So she knew exactly how many ambulances would be on their way, exactly all of the people that would be involved, and telephoned me to say that this was happening on the patch. Of course, what we didn't know at that time was that you would be called into action and that All Saints would need to be a place of safety and a place of refuge. So I chose to come to All Saints today quite literally and only to say thank you for being able to be open, for being able to respond, and then also in particular to thank Joe for being able to deal with the media so professionally, in such a priestly way, in such a humble way. You can only begin to imagine the kind of contacts and the sense of uncertainty and being on the front line when you are being interviewed, when events are happening around you, and particularly when there's the sadness of death. So in coming to All Saints to say thank you for being a safe place for the community that you serve, Joe, on behalf of your people and on behalf of me and on behalf of the diocese, thank you for being a blessing. You won't be surprised, Joe, that I didn't ask them to applaud there. Now, the other thing I need you to do today is to imagine yourself not in Swanage and not necessarily All Saints, or to imagine yourselves here, but being someone slightly different. One of the things that the cathedral congregation know is that just occasionally I have to go there and speak at them, but through them, speak to others. They sort of get used to it because they know that the bishop has to go to his cathedral and then often preach a sermon, which is actually meant more for the outside world and gets published afterwards. This is one of those days, because on Safeguarding Sunday, my words today need to be published further afield, especially after the week that we've had. So just for the next few minutes or so, All Saints, you are the cathedral, okay? You haven't got any of those responsibilities of that building, but you can be the cathedral for this morning. Congratulations. This has been a painful week for the Church of England. It's been a painful week from its very inception, because what a lot of the media won't have realised, of course, is that it is the Church of England that commissioned the Makin report. A report that at the time when it was commissioned thought would take 9 months to prepare and to publish, and took 5 years. Because the moment that you uncover a stone and underneath you find pure evil, then it is bound to have greater impact, greater complexity. And then, and only then, often, victims and survivors of a monster who did things in the name of our Lord come forward. And that's why it has taken so long. We obviously knew that it was going to be published, but it was leaked before the publishing date, which also meant that sadly victims and survivors who had prior engagement beforehand became re-traumatized again by something being put out there in an unplanned and unmanaged way. But then also there is the content, which shows just how complex and evil things have been over the last 40 years. And every organization has had this moment. This is our Jimmy Savile moment. This is our Rolf Harris moment. The BBC, the NHS, all major organizations and institutions, I'm being recorded, that's what it is, have been through this process. And of course, in my time in the church, we've seen a complete change in the way being safe and feeling safe in any membership organization has changed. And we've seen that with our parish safeguarding officers. We see it in the way in which safer recruitment processes are now in place. You will all know that things like DBSs never existed in our memory, and just how much opposition there was to that kind of screening. And it goes all the way back, of course, to the Soham murders with the two girls. That's where much of this began. But it also becomes a crisis in leadership when people have, in two camps, either done what they thought was right at the time or not done enough, and those who have deliberately covered up abuse that they would have known was going on in the life of the church. Archbishop Justin took that decision both personally and institutionally in order to stop being the focus of that media discussion. I think he was right to do what he has done. And yet, sadly, even this morning, sadly, the discussion continues and becomes one about culture and relationships rather than about safeguarding itself. And I'm sad about that, as people argue amongst themselves. So we may well ask ourselves, is the church a safe place? For the record, in my view, the Church of England is as safe or safer than many other organizations because of the progress that has been made over the years. To have parish safeguarding officers in every single one of our 14,000 parishes is absolutely crucial and absolutely local. And in that sense, this is where it becomes everybody's responsibility. And that is not because the church has a particular problem. It's because of what we read in here. It's because of what Jesus teaches us. And we've heard in our scriptures, love one another as I have loved you. And that means creating a safe place for all. Salisbury Diocese was the very first of the dioceses to engage in a new national audit process, which began in January of this year and still continues. Having an organization, a safeguarding organization with national credibility, audit, inspect every single diocese and in comparison every single cathedral about its safeguarding practice, its safeguarding culture. And we decided to go first because there's nothing to hide and we should be confident enough to go first. And if there are things to learn, then there would be things to learn. Many of these audits have been completed since. The conclusion, which people seem to have forgotten about. The conclusion of the audit on Salisbury Diocese says this, and you can read the whole report on the diocesan website. This round of audits follows the Sky and PCR2 processes that began in the diocese in 2015 and in the cathedral in 2019. Salisbury, to its credit, volunteered to be the first. Whilst there were and continue to be areas for improvement, the positive trajectory across the diocese and cathedral are a testament to their commitment to create an environment where people can come together to visit, work, worship, and thrive. During the audit, senior leaders demonstrated a willingness to open themselves to direct challenge and provided access to all areas, and no questions were off limits. To the cynic, this may sound like rhetoric, but the real strength in Salisbury is its people. From the leadership teams to the volunteers, there was an absence of hubris, no defensiveness, and a desire to learn. Much of this can be directly attributed to the leadership of the bishop. He is a relentless advocate of safeguarding, and his commitment is demonstrated by deeds, not just words. However, their greatest overall strength and potential lies in the fact that Salisbury's safeguarding practice is built on a foundation provided by their in-house professional safeguarding team, a team that has grown in numbers, confidence, and competence since 2020, a team that places victims and survivors, the young and the vulnerable, at the centre of what they do. Their commitment to a trauma-informed approach was palpable. Continuing to invest in their impressive improvement journey will be the key to their success. That is what has been said about you. That is what has been said about us. So that when you are having conversations with folk who do not necessarily belong to the church, you can have a degree of confidence, even in this week, in those that lead you and those that advise us professionally in this diocese, in the subject of safeguarding. The task is never finished. The task is never completed. There are always things to learn, because that's the nature of human relationships, especially when they go wrong. But in a week where the Archbishop of Canterbury, for the first time in history, has chosen to resign, I hope that through you, I'm able to say that Salisbury is doing its best in the name of God. And the words to guide us through this were in that reading from the Ephesians that we heard. And I want to conclude by reading them again, but to put them in your heads and in your hearts in the context of safeguarding Sunday in terms of what the scriptures are saying to us today. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Lord, we pray for all victims and survivors of the one whose name I will not mention. You will bring judgment. You will bring care for those abused. Bring amongst us all the light that shines in the darkness, that we may be your people and find out what pleases the Lord. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.